Now, Elm Hall Heritage Group in Selbridge recently produced a video detailing the story of a girl by the name of Bridget Dwyer. Bridget Dwyer entered Selbridge Workhouse at the height of the Irish famine, and following the death of her parents, Bridget's prospects were poor. However, her fortunes changed when the British Home Secretary Earl Grey addressed the overcrowding problem in Irish workhouses by sponsoring young girls to travel to Australia to work as domestic servants and to help boost the population over there. This young Selbridge girl travelled halfway around the globe to find a new life. And this recording was narrated by Cathy Fleming. It stars Samantha Varwick from Ardcloch as Bridget and was directed by Dr. Maeve O'Regan. Anne O'Neill was the executive producer, while Mary Conroy also worked on the music, which accompanies the video on YouTube. Finally, it was funded by Kildare Heritage Officer Bridget Loughlin, and this is the story of Selbridge girl Bridget Dwyer.
The summer of 1845 began well, as the hot, dry weather put everyone in a good mood. Living in a two-roomed cottage, nice temperatures are always welcome, and people gathered late into the evening to play music and tell stories. Little did we know what was to come. By September, this balmy weather had affected the potato crop. The leaves withered and there was a rotten stench when the spuds were lifted. Potatoes were our main food, and with the onslaught of winter, things got worse. This was an all-island situation, and friends and neighbours were similarly affected and could not help. We all dreaded what would happen if there was no food. Selbridge Workhouse was a large stone-built complex finished just 5 years earlier, located on the big lane which is now called the Maynooth Road. This huge building operated under the Poor Law, and the people who lived there were called paupers. It had the space for 400 souls, but during famine times it was seriously overcrowded. It housed the desperate and the destitute, and all the inmates, even the sick, were expected to work. Men labouring outdoors and the women in the laundry or the kitchens. People only went into the workhouse as a last resort. On arrival, families were divided into male and female units. All the men and boys were separated from their wives, mothers and sisters by a large wall. As the potato famine dragged on into 1847, a new law was passed, known as the Gregory Act. It stated that only those who had given up tenancy of their houses were admitted into the workhouse. Entering the door was like abandoning all hope. Inmates had no future, as you no longer had a house or home.
Hello, 'tis nice to meet you all. My name is Bridget Dwyer, and I was born to my mummy and daddy, Mary and John Dwyer, in 1832. In 1845, the Great Hunger came to Ireland. I was 13 years old at the time. We lost all our lumber potatoes to this terrible blight that first year. They were our main source of food. My daddy would eat 14 pounds of them a day. The second year of the blight, we had to sell our skinny cow and our few hens. By 1847, life was a day-to-day struggle to survive. We had nothing left, and we were starving. My family were forced to enter Selbridge Workhouse. Workhouses were places where only the most destitute and starving came. Our workhouse was overcrowded, and I saw plenty of deaths, I'll tell you. Anyone over the age of 15 had to work with the adults. The boys would break stones with the men in the yard. My job was to help with the babies, but it was heartbreaking to see so many of them fade away and die. In 1847, my parents died, probably of some disease, as the overcrowding caused outbreaks of typhus and cholera. I was now all alone in this world, but this terrible overcrowding became my saviour. As Earl Grey, the English Home Secretary, came up with a plan. He would send girls from the workhouse of Ireland, over 4,000 of them, to Australia. They'd become domestic servants and increase the population. For every 4 men, they said there was only 1 woman. They handpicked 2 of us that day in Selbridge Workhouse. Jane Walsh was a year younger than me, and she could read and write. I was really surprised when they picked me. As I was a farm servant, I'd no time for the reading and writing. The 2 of us were so frightened, thinking we'd be going to the other side of the world, across vast oceans. We swore we would look out for each other. The Board of Guardians, who were in charge of the workhouse, told us that day that 27 Kildare girls would make the treacherous journey to Port Jackson in Australia. I think ye'd call it Sydney. We were to travel aboard a ship called the William and Mary. Each orphan was given a generous wooden travelling box, filled with clean clothes, boots, and a Bible. Jane whispered to me that she would try to teach me how to read from the Bible. In early July 1849, we went by horse and cart to Dublin. Here, in the busy port, we set sail on a steamboat for Plymouth in England. We were lucky the weather was good as we all sat huddled together out in the open. Many of us were so sick as we'd never been on water before. All of us sobbed and cried as the coast of Ireland faded away. We knew we would never see our beloved Erin again. We set sail on the William and Mary on the 25th of July 1849. I cannot say we were treated well. The captain, Mr. Peter, did not seem to care one jot about us. The surgeon, Mr. Phillips, tried his best, but the crew were rude to him and we were not given the proper rations we were due. Within days, we were all seasick. Many of us had dysentery. The smell, the crowding, the pitching and tossing on the waves, oh, it was grim. There were 166 of us famine orphans aboard the William and Mary, and the journey took over 4 long months. Although we had a matron and some sub-matrons to look after us, we were all afraid of the crew. We made it our job to look out for each other and never be alone with any of them. We landed in Port Jackson on the 21st of November 1849. Many of us walked or stumbled from the ship to Hyde Barracks. I can tell you in truth, we were none too steady on our feet after all the rocking and rolling of that ship. Hyde Barracks was the immigration depot, and we would stay here until someone came to hire us. A man called Mr. Stiles, a farmer, hired me after a week, and we had to travel 185 kilometres southwest to my new home in a place called Bungonia. I thought he would have cows like my dad had once, but he had many sheep. He said he would pay me £8 a year for my labour. Oh, I earned every shilling of it. From sun up to sundown, I worked really hard. Washing clothes in terrible heat, cooking for the whole family, and splitting logs for the fire. When I was 20, I married a good man called James Marr. He was a lot older than me, but he promised to look after me. Once again, I was on the move to a place called Reedsdale. It was 100 kilometres south of where I was. James bought a piece of farmland there. Well, it was more like scrubland. It was to be our life's work, to clear it of bushes, split the trees and plough the land. Also, I had to keep house and look after my husband. Our days were long and filled with hard work, but as long as we were doing it for ourselves, we were happy. Reedsdale became known as the Irish Corner, and I'd made many friends. By 1882, some 33 years after I landed on this faraway shore, aged only 50, having survived famine and endured a hard-working life, my time on God's earth was up.
That is the story of young Selbridge girl Bridget Dwyer, who entered the Selbridge workhouse at the height of the Irish famine and then travelled over to Australia to work as a domestic servant to help boost the population. That video was produced by the Elm Hall Heritage Group in Selbridge, narrated by Cathy Fleming. It starred Samantha Varwick from Ardcloch as Bridget, directed by Dr. Maeve O'Regan. Anne O'Neill was the executive producer, while Mary Conroy also worked on the music, which accompanies the video on YouTube, funded by Kildare Heritage Officer Bridget Loughlin, and well done to all at the Elm Hall Heritage Group in Selbridge. Super stuff indeed.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, welcome back to the programme. A reminder of the main news around Kildare this morning, where a man has been arrested following the discovery of a body in Naas yesterday afternoon. Gardaí are investigating after the body of a man was found at around 1:30 at a house in Eustace Domain, which is out on the Craddockstown Road. The body was removed yesterday to the mortuary at Naas General Hospital. The office of the state pathologist was notified, and the post-mortem examination is taking place today, and the results will determine the course of the Garda investigation. And a man aged in his 40s was arrested as part of the investigation, and he was being detained at a Garda station in Kildare under the provisions of Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act. And as soon as we get more information, we'll bring it to you here on KFM. Also, staying with local news, €390,000 in funding has been allocated to safeguard and enhance local monuments in Kildare under the 2024 Community Monuments Fund. Emily Keegan has more information on this.
Kildare's allocation includes €120,000 to continue renovation works that have been ongoing on the Round Tower in Kildare Town in the grounds of St. Bridget's Cathedral. €110,762 has been allocated to improve Dunmanagh Graveyard. Further allocations include €100,000 towards the upgrade of Lara Bryan Cemetery, as well as €29,999 for Dunedee Forest and €29,520 for Confey Church. Kildare South Fine Gael TD Martin Hayden said this investment both preserves our historical sites while also giving a boost to our local economy through the creation of thousands of hours of employment opportunities for specialist craftspeople and traditional skills practitioners. This funding represents a significant investment in the cultural heart and soul of Kildare, concluded Minister Hayden.
You can get more information on that on our website at kfmradio.com. Thanks to Emily Keegan reporting there. Let's go to Kilcullen then, where Fine Gael councillor Tracy O'Dwyer is on the line. Tracy, a Garda senior citizens safety information evening taking place tonight in the parish centre. What can you tell us about that?
Good morning, Owen. Thank you for having me on. Yes, it's been a while since we had an information evening in Kilcullen, and the guards in Kilcullen are great. In fairness, they organise these evenings quite regularly. So I just thought it was a good time to have another evening focusing on senior citizens. You know, there's always some scam doing the rounds, and we've had some local burglaries, and we could all do with, you know, personal safety reminding from time to time. So Kilcullen guards will give an overall presentation tonight and will take any questions that attendees may have. They'll also, we also have Alone presenting on the night, and they're a national organisation that provides support and information to older people. So everybody is welcome, and we hope people from Kilcullen and the surrounding areas will attend. The event is in Kilcullen Parish Centre beside the church, starting at 7 p.m. And if anyone can't make it and they'd like me to raise a question, you know, by all means, they can give me a call and I'd be happy to follow up. We'll also have some key information, phone numbers to give out tonight, and we'll have some little Kildare Older Persons Council directories to give out. So lots of information for senior citizens. And, you know, we're heading into the brighter evenings. We all go out for a walk. We might forget to close our windows, you know, so it's to remind us of those little things, maybe leave a radio on. But also the guards want to hear from people in the community as to what's going on, what are they seeing, and very much an information sharing evening, as well as answering questions and the guards providing updates on what they think is happening in the area.
As you say, Tracy, it's not just limited to people living within Kilcullen Town Centre. The surrounding area is welcome to come as well.
Absolutely. The Kilcullen Guards cover a wide area. So, you know, we're talking about up as far as Ballymore, up as far as Bulabeg, Grangebeg, up as far as Dunlavin, Two Mile House at Garvin, Old Kilcullen, Yellow Bog, Sunny Hill. You know, it's a wide area. All are welcome. Absolutely, everybody is welcome, because, you know, this information is relevant to everybody, and particularly rural areas. But everybody is very welcome to come along tonight.
All right, so that's taking place in the parish centre in Kilcullen, and gets underway at 7 o'clock. There'll be tea, chat and refreshments, and as Tracy says, all are welcome. Just before I let you go, Tracy, a couple of works being carried out around Kilcullen over the next while. I know up in Cairnhill Meadows there's low pressure and supply disruption today as part of National Leakage Reduction Programme works being carried out. Water expected to return at around 5 o'clock. Sewer improvement works, though, at Connacht na Gréine. They're going to run for the next 8 weeks, so it might be a bit of disruption, but they've been called for by yourself and other representatives for quite a while.
Connacht na Gréine, it's a large project, but I mean, it's one that's so needed. People in the estates in there have been suffering for the last, 20 years with, you know, backing up, and we've had huge issues with burst pipes in there and drainage issues. And so that really the people in there have had hardship is the only word I could describe it. So once the estate was taken in charge, all these issues were identified at that time. So it was initially the public lighting needed to be upgraded. That's been done. But the big elephant in the room was always the sewage. It's a huge body of work. It's a huge cost. And finally, you know, we got agreement with Uisce Éireann and Kildare County Council, the works to be carried out, and they would be done. So, you know, it will be disruption. The guys are going out on site today. They'll be doing a letter drop. They're already engaged with the resident association. They'll be keeping everybody updated as to when water will be switched off, when it'll be back on. There will be some disruption, I suppose, trying to get into the state, but it does have another entrance. So at least there's a bit of an option there. But we will keep people updated throughout. And as I just say, if anyone has any issues or any concerns throughout the duration of the works, they can either give myself a call, or there'll be a number on the leaflet, and they can call those numbers. But, you know, we'll work together on it. I'm delighted to see they're coming in to do it finally. We've been a long time waiting on it, and hopefully this will address all the issues and people can move on with their lives in there finally.
All right. Fine Gael councillor Tracy O'Dwyer, thanks, Tracy, for joining us, and best of luck with that evening tonight. Again, 7 o'clock in the parish centre in Kilcullen. Let's go from that area up to the Naas area then, where Mayor of Naas and Social Democrats councillor Bill Clear joins us. Good morning to you, Bill. And I know it's a busy morning, the official opening of Naas Library there at the Town Hall taking place today.
Yeah, we're here right now at the Town Hall. You know, it's an amazing addition to the town, hugely important for all the children growing up and the older people who can come up here. You know, there's a big group here from the community and the library staff. So, you know, it's a good day for the town.
Indeed, it's been open to the public since January, and I've been in having a look at it, and it's a very, very impressive building and a huge addition to the town. But the official opening taking place today, so best of luck to all involved there. Bill, you wanted the council to install a radar speed sign on the Salins Road, given what you say is the excess of speeds that are regularly witnessed around the GAA club and the school there. That's the Salins Road coming out of Naas.
Yeah, given the fact that there is a school and GAA club, and we're trying to encourage more and more children to walk and cycle to school and to sports clubs, you know, we must always make the place safer. And it's a 50-kilometre speed limit on that, but people are regularly breaking it. Some people are doing it unintentionally. Sometimes it's hard, you know, to realise the speed they're doing, especially with cars are quiet these days, you know. But it's worked on other roads. Flashes up your speed in red. We all know what they look like. It was a kind of a funding issue, but it will be going ahead.
All right. What about along the Greenway there in Salins? You wanted to see more seating put in?
Yeah, listen, again, as people can see outside the library, the two new seats gone in. I want to see a library every 500 metres. This comes from when I met a lady going up the Mara, up on the Dublin Road, leaning up against the pole on her way up to the graveyard, going up to visit a grave. tired, nowhere to sit down. And so I have this project whereby every 500 metres there'll be a seat. So that's the plan. We mapped them out. So we put funding aside for that. Look, everybody needs a seat some stage in their life, you know. But I think it's a worthwhile thing to do. So every 500 metres, wherever you go, towards the hospital, towards the library, towards the graveyard, you'll have a seat every 500 metres. So that's what I'm working on.
All right. Do you think you're going to get that, or is that overly ambitious?
No, we set funding aside for it in local property tax, so about €5,000, so that should get us about 8 benches. So a lot of benches we have, so we just have to map out the ones we have, which we've done, and we just any blank spots we fill in. So, you know, people will see a lot more benches popping up, and where they can sit and relax.
Did the council confirm how many units have commenced of the 1,250 housing units zoned under the NACE LAP for 2021 to 2027? So does that mean there was a plan to build over 1,200 houses in NACE in that time frame, and you wanted to see how many have actually started?
Yeah, it's a concern of me. When I did my first local area plan, the regulator will determine how many houses can be built in the NACE area and the NACE local area plan from 2021 to 2027. That number is about 1,250. We're not seeing the level of housing I'd like to see. I think in that period it's 300 odd housing, but it's been reducing over the years now. Maybe it'll uptick again, you know. But listen, we meet young people all the time trying to buy a house. We people who are stuck in the middle, we need affordable housing. We are constantly being, you know, asked by people, we need somewhere to live, affordable to live, we need somewhere, and the numbers are not coming through. These would be mostly private developments, but would have a social element to it, part five. But everyone was saying 1,250 wasn't enough for the size of NACE, but seems to me they're not getting built fast enough for them, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And it's just to keep an eye on the numbers, and I'll do this every year just to see where we're at.
There is a new development. Well, there's plenty of new developments. I mean, out on the Blessington Road in NACE is becoming very built up. A lot of houses going in there. But also up beside the Kildare County Council offices now, there's a new estate, I think, over 200 houses going in there.
Yeah, the one over the council is what the Land Development Agency one. That does add on to that will come out at the 1,250. Look, it looks great. I have a concern about that. There's very little green area in it, you know, and that's always a concern of mine. The Land Development Agency is a national body that is tasked with doing these houses, but I think they haven't built a house since they were formed back in 2020. I believe all these houses should be left with the council. That's my view, because they know the area, they know it's needed. But anyway, we are where we are. Blessing Road is a previous, going back a long, long time, on housing. It is a project that's the previous development plan, even long before that. So that's kind of what happened there. But what the problem is it's a huge lag, you know, for a variety of reasons. And look, if we zone land, we need, and I have told developers this, if you better build or we'll de-zone it. And that's really the way we're going. If you're getting a zoning, you know, this idea of sitting on zoning, you know, making money is, you know, forget it.
Finally, Bill, Dunn Stores in the centre of NACE. It comes up quite regularly at your municipal district meetings by yourself and other councillors. Concerns being raised in relation to the entrance to the main street in NACE, and also when cars are trying to come out of Dunn's. It can be gridlock at peak times.
Yeah, it's just not the gridlock. It's just cars turning left, right and centre. They're going everywhere. And it's really annoying me as they're blocking the footpath constantly. And they look up, the drivers just kind of stare into the space and say, I don't see that old lady who's coming down in there in her walker. I don't see that person who's a walker. I don't see those children who now have to walk the road. And people just continually block the footpath, you know. And they just couldn't care less. And there's no two ways about it. And the only way we're going to stop that is to engineer that problem away. And there is, some stores should have done, made some changes in part of their planning, and they're in an authorised development area for this, which is a serious planning issue for any planner. So it's important that we as councillors make sure their project is done. My whole mantra in life is do it right the first time. We don't have to keep coming back and telling you to do stuff again and again and again and again. It's so frustrating for us. But anybody there, it's just dangerous. There's no two ways about it. People having to go off the road because somebody couldn't be bothered their backside waiting and giving space to somebody who's walking up and down the street, you know.
Social Democrats councillor on the NACE Municipal District and also Cathaoirleach of NACE, Bill Clear. Thanks for joining us, Bill, and good morning to you.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Kevin Feeney! Feeney saves it a point! It's going to stay in play! No, Kelly keeps it. Oh, he's watching! Kelly off the
catch! That's it!
Kildare, what a journey! Oh, in the most bizarre circumstances, the convert of points into the scoreboard says in 5 minutes. It should have been only 4 minutes, he said. But Matt Nolan should have won this game for Wicklow.
Game over.
Oh, Kildare won it. What on earth have we watched over the last couple of minutes here? Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, that was Dermot Nally and Philly Wolfe on commentary duty yesterday for the game between Kildare and Wicklow. The Lily Whites getting a 1 point victory over the Garden County, 16 points to 112 to book their place in the semi-final of Leinster against Louth. And Ger is with me on the line now. An exciting finish, Ger, but it should have been, you would have thought, a lot more straightforward than that going into the closing few minutes.
Yeah, that's right, Owen. Kildare's kind of mission to find more bizarre and strange way to lose games kind of was looking like it was going to continue there yesterday, because yeah, if you take it up to the 72nd minute, Kildare were 3 points ahead and fully deserving of that lead. I think they were the better side, you know, without being spectacularly good or anything like it. But considering they had a man sent off after 30 minutes and playing against the wind in the second half, they had controlled the game reasonably well and looked to be set for a pretty comfortable win, which would have been a nice way to get the Leinster Championship started. But you can't look at that game without focusing on the final 2 or 3 minutes, because ultimately Kildare were absolutely hugely fortuitous to get out of Portlaoise with a victory yesterday, after Owen Doyle was dispossessed, leading to the penalty which Oisín McGrainor scored to equalise the game. I think everybody in Portlaoise and anybody listening or watching around the world was expecting Kildare to lose when Matt Nolan had the ball just under 45 with the goal gaping, and when that ball left his foot, I think everybody was thinking that Kildare were going to lose that game. But somehow I think just a bounce on the turf just put it wide of the post, and but then you have to say full credit to Kildare, because they managed to keep their heads and come down and get a winning score, which is absolutely crucial, because the new rules that were only brought in at the start of this championship season would have meant that Kildare would have started the extra time period with 13 men, with red cards now counting for that extra time period. So with the black card as well shown to Owen Doyle, it would have meant that Kildare would have played the majority of the first half of extra time with 13 men, and then have 14 players at the max then through extra time. So it would have been very, very difficult indeed. So that winning point by Jack Sargent was absolutely crucial, and what a huge point it could be for everybody involved with the Kildare setup.
Yeah, a win is a win, Ger, no matter what way you get it. And I know Glenn Ryan made that statement in his interview, and we'll hear a clip from him in a moment. Do you think that that game will do much for the confidence for the players, the management and the supporters going into the semi-final against Louth?
You'd hope so anyway, yeah. Yeah, to kind of use soccer parlance, when a striker goes 10 games without a goal, he just wants one to come in off his backside and then hopefully get on a run. And being outside the Kildare dressing room after matches for the league period was a pretty miserable experience. A lot of sad faces coming out of the dressing room, but that was completely changed yesterday. And actually, in the end, the way the Kildare actually dug it out and got that last gas winning point may actually be more benefits to them rather than winning, you know, quite comfortably. And everybody was absolutely thrilled coming out of that dressing room there yesterday, and it was a real kind of a weight off the shoulders of everybody involved to get that win following that dismal losing streak, and they go forward now to an NCAA semi-final. But I'm sure kind of once the high of that win died down yesterday evening, certainly into today, that everybody involved will realise that Kildare need to be an awful lot better going into Croke Park if they're to beat Louth. There were some really good aspects of the game at different stages, but probably not consistently again through the 70 minutes, which is something that Kildare are searching for, a full 70-minute performance and even 75, 76-minute performance. And that's going to be needed against Louth. Definitely our area that Kildare need to improve upon vastly, because Louth had another pretty impressive win there, and they have really hit a bit of form there in the latter part of the league season, now into the championship as well.
Yeah, Louth with a comfortable win against Wexford. The other games saw Offaly beat Carlow and Dublin defeat Meath. So it's Kildare against Louth and Dublin versus Offaly in the semi-finals. And obviously Kildare would have played Louth only a couple of weeks ago in the league. Ger, Louth coming out the right side of the victory there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we said it at the time that we kind of had half an eye on potentially meeting Louth in that's the semi-final, and it was a good opportunity to kind of get a close-up view of them. And of course, David White of Moorfield is part of the manager set up there with Ger Brennan, who was a former Moorfield manager there as well, leading them as well. So they will have a good insight into the Kildare setup too. But yeah, that was a huge game for Louth on that day, a bit of a dead rubber for Kildare. So hopefully Kildare can find another gear to go into when it goes to Croke Park. There were some good aspects to the Kildare performance. Kevin Feely continues his excellent season in a roundabout way. I think actually missing that penalty late on against Fermanagh has almost been a good thing for Kevin, because I think in pretty much every game since then he's been Kildare's best player. You could have probably a coin toss between him and it's a tie club mate, Niall Kelly, for Man of the Match for Kildare yesterday. I think I saw both of them given Man of the Match in various different places. It was very close between the two of them, but it was great to see Niall back there in his first championship start since 2018 as well, performing to a really high standard as well. So those two are definitely plus points. Aaron Masters and then in midfield as well, I thought it was a really good game too, and he definitely is growing into things there in the centre of the field. And he had a good game against Louth in that league match as well, so hopefully he can replicate that. But then on the minus side, I suppose, obviously the sending off of Kevin Flynn, unfortunately I don't think Kevin could have any arguments with the tackle. It certainly wasn't malicious, but it was just mistimed, and once you make a mistimed tackle that connects with the opposition's connects with the opponent's head, I don't think the referee had any choice. So it is unfortunate for Kevin, because he's had a really tough time with injury, and he could be such an important player for Kildare, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him back in midfield as well, because I think he could do a lot of damage there. But unfortunately now he is likely to serve a suspension and miss that Louth game, and then there'll also be injury concerns as well with Mick O'Grady and Daniel Flynn forced out of the game in the first half to different injuries, and then Brian Bourne as well looked fairly shook when he was leaving the field as well. Hopefully that's something that he can recover from fairly quickly, but Mick O'Grady and Daniel Flynn, they look like muscle injuries, so hopefully they'll be able to recover before that game, because they'll definitely be needed, and if they're not available, Kildare will be really down on numbers. So that's a lot of work to do for the medical team there in the next 2 weeks.
Let's hear from the Kildare manager Glenn Ryan.
Hard to put into words really, but I suppose one thing that you do take out of it is it could have been very easy after the few months we've had, and after the way that last couple of minutes went from our own perspective, for fellas to sit back and say, oh, not again, here we go, and let it happen. And we were never going to win a game by just pure performance today, and particularly against Wicklow, who have a real big win under their belt last week, but we all know we needed a win, and it was always going to be difficult when you're looking for something as much as we are. But I just so bloody happy for these fellas that they wouldn't have deserved to lose that.
You can hear that full interview with Glenn Ryan and with Niall Kelly and Jack Sargent later on this evening in the Kildare Scoreboard programme from 6:20. Seamus Dillon is also with us because the Kildare Hurlers got their championship campaign off to a winning start on Saturday. Seamus, as a lot of people would have expected, victory against Sligo. Not overly comprehensive though, and maybe not overly convincing, but again, a win is a win.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, the way the team, Brian Dowling and his management team, will look at it. A win is a win, but it was far from impressive. It was just, you know, it was a game that after, you know, 8 minutes when Kildare struck for their second goal, they moved 2-3 to a goal ahead. They were never going to lose the game. You could see that from the way the game had set up, but it was laborious and hard for Kildare to get to grips. Their touch wasn't what you would have maybe expected from them, and even though they led by 10 points at half time, you probably were asking yourself the question, how were the 10 points in front at that stage? Led 2-13 to 2-3, two Cathal Dowling goals, one after 2 minutes in response to an opening goal from the Sligo men, and then Dowling got a second one after 7 minutes, and it was great to see him back on the field of play after a hamstring injury, but he left after 30 minutes, possibly that he felt something again, so it'll be up in the air as to how he will be for this weekend. But, you know, Kildare, Jack Sheridan was on form from freeze and from play. Simon Lacey was outstanding in that opening half, turning defence into attack, and so many times chipped in with a couple of points himself. And then just before the half-time break, two Murrish Curtin points, a Jack Sheridan point from play, and then a brilliant point from Conan Bourne from just outside his own 45. As I say, left Kildare 2-13 to 2-3 ahead. But the second half was probably as poor as you could get, in the sense that Kildare scored 6 points, Sligo scored 5. Three of those scores from Kildare came from frees, and it was just one of those afternoons that they were happy to get the win and get out of there and move forward to playing Wicklow this weekend. 2-19 to 2-8, 11-point victory will tell you all you need to know, but Kildare will want to step up, you know, from what was produced on Saturday.
Yeah, it goes without saying Kildare are favourites to win the Christy Ring Cup outright. There will be a couple of tough challenges along the road, and Wicklow will be another tough test coming up this weekend.
Yeah, look, at Wicklow put it up to Kildare last year in the Keogh Cup, and they didn't feel a team this year, but you know, they got set out their stall in the league. They've improved steadily, as you say. Then Kildare have Derry at home in the next fixture. They've got to go to Tyrone and to London, so there's no easy games on paper. As I say, Kildare are the favourites for the competition, but they're not going to get it easy. We'll be hoping that they'll be back in Croke Park come May or June for the Christy Ring Cup final and get back to where they want to be, and that's at the Joe McDonagh level. It's been a mixed sort of a season for them, but you know, the ground's getting hard, the hurlers are there, and you know, they're going to kick on hopefully to get to that final later on in the year.
Overall, a very successful weekend for Kildare GAA and LGFA teams. Friday evening, the under 20 hurlers had a victory against Carlow. Then we had the minor footballers winning against Louth yesterday, or on Saturday afternoon. And then the minor ladies winning the Leinster A Championship title by beating Meath yesterday. So 5 teams in action, 5 victories.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better weekend. The under 20 hurlers played Carlow on Friday evening, and what was, I have to say, a cracking game of hurling. Kildare led 1-8 to 1-7 at the half time break, courtesy of a Fionn Mar goal. They played some superb hurling, you know, having the likes of Daniel O'Mara and Keane Boren from your senior panel. Certainly a big addition to Kildare, and it's good that the seniors and the under-20s can work together. The second half was nip and tuck the whole way through. A Carlow goal, second one from Owen Doyle, the corner forward, put Carlow into a 1-point lead. But Kildare outscored Carlow 6-1 from there to the finish, and yeah, really good game. It was a late Killian Harrington goal in the 62nd minute that sort of sealed the victory, that 6-point victory. But Kildare move on now to play, I think it's Meath next weekend, in what will be the first of the knockout stages of the competition. But yeah, Owen Stapleton and his charges will be very happy. But compliments to both teams. It was as good a game of hurling as you'd see around. The minor footballers met a 3 out of 3 in the Leinster Championship on Saturday afternoon against Louth. They're picking it up slowly as they go along. They're into a Leinster semi-final. It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks away. That's always a situation where Niall Crone and his management team have to try to match it, because, or manage it, because of the fact that, you know, there'll be somebody coming in on the back of a quarter final, so it doesn't make it easy for them. But yeah, they're going well, they're unbeaten, you know, in fairness to Niall Crone. And he's lost two Leinster finals out of 2, but you know, Kildare have been unbeaten in all those games up to those finals over the last couple of years. 3 wins again this year, and they'll be hoping to get back to a Leinster final and put some silverware on the board. And then the ladies, the under 18s, fabulous win. I think they led 1-9 or 1-10 to 1-2 at half time, but Meath came right back into it, closed the gap, and good win. It just goes to bode well for Kildare. Ladies got to an All Ireland minor final last year. It's their third Leinster title in a row, so you know, you'd have to compliment Darren Kendrick and his management team for the work that's going in. And I suppose be remiss of me not to mention the 3 Suncroft girls, my own niece Ruth Dillon, the 2 Murphys, Ella and Hannah, not related, but good to see them getting Leinster medals on the board again. And you know, but overall a fabulous performance, some really good. And Freya Healy, girl from Sarsfields, who was part of an Irish soccer outfit, she played with Ireland during the week, but she was back to bring a lot of skill and to the play later, and they'll be hoping to have her for an All-Ireland semi-final now. But yeah, look at Owen, Kildare ladies football flying at the moment, and the seniors will be out next weekend against Dublin, first round of the Leinster.
Indeed, Seamus Dillon and Jer McNally, thanks to you both for joining us this morning.